Now, you may or may not recognize the name Solomon Burke, but his influence on American popular music is huge and unmistakable. Like his contemporary Sam Cooke and Otis Redding, he is one of the pioneers of soul music. But even on his soul records back in the 1960s, you could hear a bit of a country sound as well.
If you need me, I want you to call me. I said, if you need me, all you gotta do is call me.
Burke's brand new record really brings out that love of country music. It is called Nashville, and he recorded it in Nashville with a little pantheon of cool country artists, including Dolly Parton, Gillian Welch, and Emmylou Harris. The result is soulful and rocking and old-school authentic. Solomon Burke has been called the king of rock and soul, so now I guess we can add country to his royal fiefdoms. Your Highness, welcome to Studio 360.
What a thrill to talk with you, and that was one of the greatest build-ups of all times. If I only could have a copy of this from my banker.
Well, we'll get it right to him. First, I did want to say that this new record is just great.
Thank you so much.
And before we go any further, I want to let our listeners hear a little bit of it. Here is a song called Ain't Got You.
Uh-oh.
I got fortunes of heaven and diamonds and gold. I got bonds, baby, that the banks can't hold. I got a house across the country, honey, end to end. Everybody I know wants to be my friend. I got a richest baby and a man to see. But there's one thing I ain't got, babe. We both agree I ain't got you.
That's Solomon Burke singing Ain't Got You on his new album Nashville. And here is Solomon Burke with me. So how and why does a soul singer make such a great country record?
Well, it's time to do different things and time to, you know, get out of the mustard and catch up. And this is what we're doing. We're just catching up to my step up, something that I started to do in 1960 with Atlantic Records.
And back in 1960 and for years after that, was it hard for you as a African-American to sort of get traction in the overwhelmingly white country music world?
Well, it wasn't so much of getting traction. There was a great country artist by the name of Herb Jeffries that never got the airplay and who had many movies of his own and one of the great black American heroes in country and western. And we were just blessed enough to be at the right place at the right time, which was Atlantic Records, and have a song called Just Out of Reach of My Two Empty Arms that was published by Gene Autry. Gene Autry took a liking of it, I guess, and gave us the first opportunity to get airplay. And the rest is just history, and it's just been so wonderful to turn back the hands of time and bring it into the current day and time of doing a whole country CD.
One of the things I love about this record is that it doesn't have the sort of overproduced pop sound that a lot of contemporary country does. Did you go out of your way to kind of make it realer?
No, I went out of the way with a guy named Buddy Miller, who was incredible. We recorded live in Nashville, and the beauty of the session was it wasn't a studio per se. It was his home, and we started recording on the front porch, to the living room, to the dining room, to the hallway, to the kitchen, to the den, and to the back porch. And by that time, he was throwing me out of there.
That sounds very old school. Was it fun to you made this record in a very short time, right?
We did 8 days with this record. It was an incredible 8 days. It was an education, something that I'm very grateful and honored that I had the privilege to do and be able to record with five of the queens of royalty of country, which was just a magnificent situation for me.
And what about those women you worked with? Did you choose them?
A buddy just said, you don't worry about it. We're going to do it. We're going to surprise you. And if they be there, they'll be there. If they don't be there, we'll put wigs on and do it ourselves.
So there was suddenly there was Dolly Parton and Gillian Welch.
It was incredible. Incredible. I mean, just totally incredible. One day at a time. And they just came in and said hello. And we brought the donuts and the biscuits and the barbecue and the chicken. And just laughed and joked and called ourselves listening to music and wound up recording it.
Well, let's hear a bit of Valley of Tears, which Gillian Welch wrote for you, and she sings and plays along with you.
Well, she came in and she started singing it, and we listened down to it once, and then we just started singing along with each other. It was just magic.
Come on, everybody. Everybody wants to send me down to the Valley of Crying Time, y'all. Everybody wants to send me down to the Valley of Tears.
As you can hear, the pure sound there, where it wasn't like 3 mics or 4 mics or 10 mics. It was just one microphone in the room, and they're playing the guitars. That's it.
I can't help myself. I want to say it again. Say it real sweet like you love it. Everybody wants to send me down to the Valley of Tears.
Back in the 50s, in your teens, you started out as a gospel singer, and you hosted a gospel radio show. Do you see a connection between gospel and country and soul and all the rest?
Well, for me, there'll always be a connection. I'm an ordained elder in my church, and everything that I'm about is about a spiritual form, and that spiritual form is based upon love.
So you really do feel as though in this album in Nashville that there's some kind of spiritual sense that you're bringing to the table informing these songs?
Absolutely.
When you were a little kid, like at age 7, you were a preacher at your family's church. How does a 7-year-old boy lead a congregation?
Well, you actually don't lead. You kind of follow. I made sure I had my grandmother's hand, and I did exactly as I was told. I didn't start pastoring until I was 12, and that made a big difference. I then felt I was an old man with 5 years' experience. I didn't have to stand on top of a box and preach anymore. You know, I could stand just on a stepladder.
Was there a moment in your youth when you decided, you know, preaching the Word of God is one thing, but I really want to make a living in music as well?
No, there's never been that type of moment in my life, because I know that through the power of God I can survive and I can stand. And through the trials and tribulations of life, no matter what, when, where, or how, God will see me through.
Were there any moments along the way, we all have hardships and tribulations, where you wondered if he was going to carry you through?
Well, there's been ups and downs. I mean, I have 21 children, 84 grandchildren, and 17 great-grandchildren.
My God.
And you must understand, see what you just said? Thank God. It's not me.
That's amazing. Do any of them play music?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I have daughters and granddaughters that are just incredible. I have a son, two sons that sing, and sons that write, and one daughter in North Carolina who's an incredible singer. And right now I'm in the studio as we speak, finishing up her gospel album. And I'm looking forward to all these great things that are happening for them, because if that happens, then guess what? I'll be able to get a job as an opening act.
There you go. Do you have a favorite track on this new record that we should play as we leave you for today?
You know, it's very hard for me to choose any track on this record, because from beginning to end, it tells a story for me. And if you listen to the beginning, you know, that's how I got to Memphis. That's really how I got to Memphis. And if you listen to the end, it tells you exactly what I'm getting ready to do.
Solomon Burke, I want to thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much.
If you love somebody enough, you'll follow them wherever they go. That's how I got to Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis.
Solomon Burke's new record, Nashville, is in stores right now. And to find out more about him, you can visit our website, studio360.org. I'm Kurt Anderson. Thanks very much for listening to Studio 360. I hope you'll join us again for next week's show. Studio 360 is produced by WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International. Our production team includes
Julie Burstein,
David Krasnow,
Lital Malad,
Michelle Siegel,
Ave Carrillo,
Derek John,
Sarah Lilly,
Eric Malinsky,
Rob Weisberg,
Adam Walton,
Lori Ann Agnesi.
And our theme music is by David Van Tiekum. Alas, our production team no longer includes
Carrie Hillman,
because Carrie has gone off to start a new public radio show, a daily show called Fair Game. And everybody here at Studio 360 hopes that she's as lucky with her new show as we were to get to work with her.
Studio 360 is funded in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Horace W. Goldsmith Foundation, and the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes a great nation deserves great art. Studio 360's series on creativity and science is supported in part by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation.
PRI, Public Radio International.